This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. This is a special episode. We're recording this and we're broadcasting it live with my friend, Mr. Taylor Otwell, the chief architect of Laravel and the architect of the new product, Spark. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, Spark. So say hi to everybody, Taylor.
Hey, everybody.
Let's just dive right in. The first thing, for those of you, or for those of us who don't know exactly what your vision was with Spark, give us in a nutshell, what is Spark?
So in addition to Laravel, I wrote these two services, Forge and Envoyer, which Forge provisions servers and Envoyer does zero downtime deployments. But on both of those services, I had to write a bunch of sort of supporting code to do all the subscription billing, the authentication, coupons, invoices, all that stuff that comes with just writing a service that you charge money for. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really want to have to do that again. I wanted to be able to sort of have a template or a bootstrap to write all that boring stuff for me so that I could just work on kind of the exciting part. Because when you have a side project idea, the exciting part is sort of your idea, not writing all of the subscription billing code. And that kind of tends to bog people down, I feel like, at the start, where they kind of get started and they start writing all that code. They're like, this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. And then you kind of gets tossed into the pile of other side projects, you know? So That was kind of the vision for it, was to make it faster for people. If you have an idea, to get it started a lot faster.
Very cool. Well, that dives right into my next question, which was, how did your experience with Forge and Envoyer play into this? Obviously, you've now built two products, and this was just your way of automating this so you didn't have to do it again, like every good developer loves to do.
Yeah, exactly. And you learn a lot when you build, you know, something like Forge or Envoyer. You mess up and you learn things you would do better. And so I tried to bake all of those lessons into Spark, you know, because, like, for example, on a Forge, I didn't write support for coupons at first. And so every time a user group would ask for a coupon, I would say, well, I haven't programmed, you know, to do coupons yet. But so building all that into Spark, you know, all the stuff that you would normally maybe cut corners on because you're trying to get finished faster is all done for you. Mm-hmm. And so that's nice to know you have everything done.
Very cool. Now, going through the website, you've got some very interesting add-ons to it. You do subscriptions and you do invoices, but you also do team billing. Is that, obviously that's more for the, I got no idea. I was thinking it was one thing, but it's actually another. So you have it already built in. Let me relate this to Nomad PHP, a side project of mine, where we have team subscriptions as well as individual subscriptions. Spark comes out of the box ready to handle teams and organizations as well as just individuals from the subscriber point of view?
Yeah, so that's another lesson learned from Forge, where, like, if you sign up for Forge and you want to share servers with your teammates, you have to create a circle or a group. And a lot of times people want to have their user account or separate from maybe their work team account. And so that's all kind of baked in out of the box to where you can have multiple teams on different billing plans. Maybe your user account's just on the basic plan for like $10 a month and your team is on some kind of pro plan for $50 a month. And those are totally separate credit cards and separate invoices and everything. So that's all, baked it out of the box.
Very cool. Well, having tried to build that myself and failed now twice, and we're on our third iteration, I can see the value of that. Matter of fact, if Spark had been around about a year ago when we were swapping over, we probably would not have gone the way we did. That's very cool. Hey, one of the things I notice is that you use Vue.js for your front end. Talk to us a little bit about why you chose that particular framework over some of the other ones available.
So I am not a JavaScript expert by any means. And so what's nice about Vue.js is it's very approachable for people who are not, you know, they're not deep into the JavaScript ecosystem, and maybe they've dabbled in React, but maybe found it overwhelming, or that dabbled in Angular and found that overwhelming. To me, Vue is sort of the best of a lot of what's out there in a very approachable, well-documented package. And it, well, the nice thing about it with Spark is it, we only really force you to use Vue on a few of the screens, but the majority of your own code, your own app can use, you know, whatever you want. So if you're more of an Angular person or a React person, you can sort of bring that in. But to me, it was, it's just the most approachable and easiest to learn, just because it's simple and it's well documented. You can read through the docs in a couple hours and sort of pretty much understand it.
That's very interesting. One of the features that I see on here that I don't see a lot in frameworks of this type or packages that help you build build applications, but I do see when I am being introduced to the back end of SaaS products and stuff like that, is the user impersonation. That's very cool. Talk to us a little bit about how that works.
So I've used that quite a bit on both products I built, to where if someone emails you, your support desk or whatever, and says that this screen looks funny, or they can't figure something out and you just can't quite envision what they're looking at, it just sounds kind of confusing. A lot of times it's nice to sort of log in as that person and be able to just put your eyes on the screen to see sort of what state the application's in for them. And of course, you don't want to ask them for their password to do that manually. So Spark ships for this thing where you can search by username or email and then just click a little impersonation button to sort of log in as them. And then you can swap back to your account when you're done. So it it feels a little sneaky, but actually is really helpful if you're trying to help someone debug a problem or whatever.
No, I totally agree. I first saw that back late 90s. A friend of mine built a Java framework, and he put that into it. And I said, that is really cool. And I see it on other applications. Other people have built it, but I've never seen it commoditized like this. When I was working at Pantheon, they had that where they could just click and they can see what you see. And it helps in debugging just masterfully, but you don't see it built in a lot. And it really surprises me that that it doesn't. And I know users of Spark are going to appreciate being able to do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, well, that pretty much ran through the questions I've had. I was hoping Joe was going to be able to join us, but he had another commitment because he had an idea for a project. He was basically going to start a SaaS that he promised not to take Spark and a weekend and do your project instead of you, if you would pay him $50 a month. So apparently, and I've talked to a couple other people that have purchased Spark licenses, and I was like, well, what are you going to use it for? Well, I got this idea, and I just don't want to have to build all the billing and whatever over again, because people of my age have built those things more than we care to count. And it's never fun. You're right. And I always tell people 75% to 80% of every application is exactly alike. It's the same stuff. Yeah. You want to focus on the 20% that's going to make your application, your SaaS, better.
Yeah, it saves even more time for European customers as well, because they have this whole nasty tax situation where whatever someone buys your SaaS, you have to charge them sales tax depending on what country they're on. And so Spark handles all that, you know, by communicating with Stripe and figuring out what country their bank is in and charging the correct tax rate and stuff. And that saves even more time. We have it pretty easy in America, actually, even though it's still a pain in the butt, but it's easier than it is in the EU.
Very cool. Did not realize that. Hey, what was the most difficult part of putting all of this together? I mean, I know you've done it twice already, but in commoditizing it and building it so that everybody can use it, what was the hardest part about building Spark?
Some of the trickiest parts were making it work with Stripe and Braintree at the same time, because it does support both of those payment providers. And I knew the reason I wanted to support Braintree is so many people like PayPal, especially if they have sort of a worldwide customer base. PayPal is just supported. you know, pretty much everywhere. Whereas not everyone has a credit card, as much as it feels like they do here in the US, but in a lot of countries they don't. So I knew for Spark to have, you know, worldwide appeal, I needed to support PayPal, and making those two play nice, Stripe and Braintree, in the same sort of scaffolded app was a little challenging, probably the toughest technical aspect of it. And then also just battling my own, you know, when should we actually ship this thing, when to call it done. Because it was a long project. It probably took me 8 or 9 months to do it. And yeah, you know, but those are two of the things that stick out.
Well, you are a master at building the anticipation. I've been hearing about Spark now for about a month, seeing it all over Twitter and everything, and everybody just begging, you know, the old shut up and take my money meme has been out there. And you are a master at that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Laravel and all the products that you've built in the Laravel ecosystem are great products, but I love that you've also, you understand enough about marketing to build the anticipation and build the audience for your products before you actually put them out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go because I know you're busy. I thank you for being here. Hey, same question I ask everybody before they leave. Got to ask you here on Voices of the Elephant. What is your local user group and what's the URL?
We don't have a PHP user group in Little Rock.
Wow.
I actually go to the .NET user group sometimes because that's the one we do have a .NET user group. But in Arkansas, you have Walmart and Tyson Food and Dassault Falcon Jet, and those are all big .NET shops.
Oh,
so you see a lot of .NET in Arkansas. You don't see as much PHP.
Okay. Well, that's fine. you know, you're always welcome on Nomad PHP. Just to drop me an email. You are always welcome to stop by. Hey, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for being a part of Voices of the Elephant and for all that you do for the PHP community, because you do a heck of a lot of stuff. You've contributed back way more than you've ever taken. Let me say thank you for everything you have done for the PHP community.
Thanks for having me on. It's fun.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHP. ANT.